Forever Dog. Race Chaser. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser. Classique. A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What is yours?
Hello, I'm Willem, star of season 4, RuPaul's Drag Race. Grand finale.
Oh, this is
and
your
reunion.
Season, Tina.
Honestly, I think my best episode is yet to come for this season. We're going to talk about it.
I thought your work on Drag U was pretty
seminal.
Groundbreaking.
It was seminal.
Yeah.
Seminal
vesicle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking UFC.
It feels good to be back in the classique mode.
Doesn't it? You look so much younger.
And
so much skinnier.
What's changed? Fuck. A lot, actually.
Are you in both of these episodes that we're about to review? Because this episode, we're going to review the grand finale and the reunion, because there's not enough meat in the finale episode. It's just the girl shooting the video, basically, and then, like, too much talking.
It's a little bit of filler.
It's a stretch, for sure.
Especially since they do the fake out at the end, which we'll talk about. But we're lumping together the grand finale and the reunion because they're kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Do you remember a few months back, a simpler time, February 2020, pre-pandemic, pre-stay at home, when you used to wear nails? We were dissecting, disgusting, and disseminating RuPaul's Drag Race season 4. And we made it all the way up to the finale. But
that's right. We had seen the dolls wrestle one another. The wet t-shirt contests. delivering one-liners in a sitcom directed
by
Max
won.
Muchnick. Thank you. Build exceptional boats that
Maritime
are very
mommy.
Pretty. They are she-worthy.
She-worthy.
A political debate, dressing up like dogs, and most importantly, teaching us to love you for you during the Milan invasion. So that was a simpler time, and we have returned here at the grand finale of season 4.
At the North Hollywood El Portal Theater, we have returned to bring you the grand finale in an extra supersized episode of Race Chaser, where I'm going to turn off my notifications as soon as I figure out where my fucking mouse is.
Shady bitch.
Shady bitch.
I do want to say Love You For You is actually on Jiggly's
Jiggly.
Boat.
I didn't want to correct her because she's already lost so many mini challenges.
No, I just
but it
say
was
the Milan,
during the Milan invasion. You are correct.
I say the Milan. I know that Jiggly was Love You For You, and I know that the Milan invasion was Milan, but I say them both because they're both from the boat challenge.
What did my boat say?
It said it had your face all over it.
So it obviously said winner. No. My boat said winner, bitch.
Maritime realness. So, okay, let's get into this grand finale episode. Again, there's not a lot of meat on the bones of this episode. The divas walk into the room. I am one of three, two of three, I am three of three. Resistance is futile. RuPaul comes up on the screen to tell us, my divas, remember who you are and what you stand for. I love you and... Wait, that's not the RuPaul message.
You have survived the end of the world.
That's not the RuPaul message. I was reading Latrice's lipstick message.
So this lipstick message.
I'm quitting drag right now.
Maybe you need to put on a different wig.
I have left the call. Like in the AOL chat when you leave the room.
The door closing?
The door closing noise.
Is that where they get the opening noise with RuPaul from AOL M4M chat? I feel like it could be.
Actually, it might be.
I feel like it might be. The exit message for Latrice, though, says, my divas, remember who you are and what you stand for. I love you and miss you. Stay Fierce, Latrice Royale.
Yes.
Good thing is she did Stay Fierce, which is awesome. So we're down to Chad, Sharon, Fifi. And they're talking about on the runway when Fifi was named as the person that should go home. When Rue went, well, who should go home? Let me shit in this pot and stir it a little bit.
Right. And the divas are still hashing out a little bit of bitterness over everyone literally choosing Fifi. Let's see. Now RuPaul comes on the screen and says, my queens, the chosen three. You have survived the end of the world, bitch fights, pregnant daddies, and boatloads of proud semen. Damn. But your biggest test is yet to come. Which one of the girls will take a giant leap and join me in my elite squadron of fighting glamazons? Today, RuPaul's Drag Race. Tomorrow, the world.
Squeak, squawk. Oh. So RuPaul glances on in like she owns the place. She does.
She does.
The queens are announced that they will be starring in her new music video, Fashion Adventure Extravaganza, and they're going to have to act and dance and style and learn choreography from the inimitable Candace Cayne. Her name is spelled CandiceCayne. The rule is you have to make it harder when you're prettier. And it's directed by Matthew Anderson. And girl, she is giving lip service
completely
to the dolls.
Well, this is a traditional thing that they did. Like the final episode on season three,
the dolls starred
in a music video. Mm-hmm. Which
season
is like
two, too, right?
It's traditional. Yes, because they did the like writing on the mirror scene.
What about Jujubee? Yeah, all that.
Right. And it gives us a chance to see what the dolls can do in this kind of environment, which is actually a useful skill to act in a scene on camera and to do a music video. So that's like real life drag application, I think.
Yeah, I think this is definitely something that a drag queen would be asked to do in the world. So what a wonderful way to see if they can hack it on set. I'm not talking about Sharon's wig.
Speaking of hacking up the choreography, the dolls are learning choreography from the stunning Candace Cayne. Mm-hmm. And Candace is like just breezing through it. First of all, can we just speak about Candace Cayne, who's showing up to dance rehearsal in heels, in a good heel, and in a strapless dress, and perfect hair. She is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
There's something in the water. Hawaii. Like, all the girls there, they're beautiful.
Yeah, so lovely. But Sharon's having a lot of trouble with the choreography. The other girls, Chad and Fifi, are just nailing it. Just dun-da-da-da. One and turn, step, step, step. Then gesture like this. Then do it backwards in reverse.
I mean, Sharon doesn't even have the feet down. And that's the most important, to at least go the way everybody else is going. And then you figure out the arms. She just looks like a starfish out of water right now.
Right. And the same day they film it with Matthew. And it's made to look like the most important scene in the literal music video. Because
and it's not.
It is
they chop
like,
it up.
Girl, in the actual music video, there's no choreography synchronized. Maybe they didn't get it.
Maybe there would have been if it was better and fierce, but they're like, we can't use that.
Matthew was reading the Dear Dolls on Good Day.
When he said to Sharon, he said the first time was wah, wah, but the second time was just one wah. It's like Matthew is not going to put wah in a video.
Fifi's like, it's just one step, not two. It's just one step. Excuse me. When we do do-si-do, I'm crossing over there and you're crossing over here.
You're crossing in the middle. She's crossing in the back and I'm crossing in the front. How hard is it, Sharon? Just get this. Fifi is annoyed. And honestly, this is production number choreography. It's not that hard to pick up. And any RuPaul's Drag Race winner should be able to get this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but.
They eventually, they look great. They're all in Marco Marco. Those outfits are Marco Marco.
Are they?
Marker.
The space spiky kind
yes,
of.
Yes, they are.
Oh, they are really fabulous.
Aren't they cute?
I quite liked the looks. Mm-hmm. Now, the next day, the divas walk into the workroom, and there's a message on the mirror that says, meet us in the ladies' room.
And they go into the bathroom.
I'll be
and
back
who?
Real soon.
And who is waiting for the dolls? But Tyra.
I was had his cigarettes and taking a time.
Well, Raja and
don't
Tyra.
Don't slap me because I'm not,
not
in, the,
in
mood.
The mood.
Oh my God, that actually applies to this scene because they
They do slap each other. Oh, wow. I think this ladies' room thing they were trying to push through the whole season four. They would like, we would talk about something and be like, do you want to talk about that in the ladies' room with someone today? It's like, no, we have shit to do in the workroom. I'm not going to sit in a fake bathroom I can't even suck a dick in. Like, why are there urinals here if it's not to hold my drink while I suck dick?
It
what
was
the fuck?
Used in some of the skits. It's just,
you know what
just
was used in some of the
a...
skits? Never mind.
Your acting talents?
No.
Your Emmy nominated acting talents?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the divas go in, and Tyra and Raja are there. I just, they have a little consultation with each of the girls and like a rehearsal. But Raja's look is, can we just like give it a salute? Salute.
Motorcycle Josephine Baker meets Angeline.
Her ability to style is just impeccable. It was like a motorcycle jacket with a huge ball skirt, a bra, fucking hair, and just like in a pageant necklace.
And a nude bra perfectly matched to her skin.
Really, really just
perfect.
Excellent.
And
Tyra
looked
like great too.
Rihanna times 10 when Rihanna was doing the red hair. She looked
right.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
No notes. Fun little flirty black party girl dresses.
Yeah, exactly.
LBDs. I think that the lunches are a little heavy this year. They get the underscoring with the violin on all three of them with the whole like, well, how did that make you feel? And Rue is going in. This doesn't feel like it's meant to get the entertainment aspect of the show. This is the let me poke at your heart and see if I can get you to cry part of the show.
Well, I mean, that's like a jaded way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I think.
Hello, I'm Jade. Get her, Jade. What about you? She was trying to fuck up your relationship. She was saying, well, what?
Not at all.
She said, what's this going to do? Put the strain on your relationship with Alaska?
I was actually very impressed with how RuPaul conducted each of these interviews because it was a casual conversation, but it was sort of like
until the underscoring started.
What is your story? What is your overall story here that can connect to anybody at home watching? RuPaul has a great way of doing that. She has those fucking huge eyes. She looks sickening sitting there lit at the table and just like listening and drawing tears out of you. She got all the dolls to cry, didn't she?
I think almost, if not at least, like Sharon broke down once she got back into the room and she hugged Chad because I'm sure it was a lot for everybody. I just see it as a chance for them to get the last little bit of story out that they didn't get out before because these questions are written down. RuPaul does come across as caring. So I think she should have been nominated this year for an acting Emmy. You know, and the way she talks to Fifi, you can just already tell Fifi's not going to win. Like you're a fighter. Yeah.
Well, my favorite thing from the Tic Tac lunches is RuPaul saying the words, I'm Alaska.
Oh, yeah. What would you say to me?
What would you say to me? I'm Alaska. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it very
much. I saw that too. How did you, and you felt good when you saw that on TV? Acknowledged?
Well,
seen?
Yes, of course. And I mean, these were conversations that we had already had. And it was a big struggle for me, you know, not getting on the show, and my partner at the time did. That was very, very difficult for me.
And she took your corset.
She did. But eventually, you know, I got over it. And, you know, that was important to just be like, supportive in that moment.
Well, I like the part where all the girls get hit and punched and kicked. That part is a favorite of mine. But we can talk about that when we come back, maybe, because this little break is going to be needed.
Don't slap me, because I'm
not
in the mood.
The
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, and then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. So we're back, and you know what? This acting skit, directed by Matthew Anderson, there's a lot of fun stuff in here.
My favorite part is when RuPaul goes off book and she said, "That wrench came real close to this face," because you see it fly through the frame. I had to swing a shovel at somebody on a TV show, and I swung it while the actor was there, and I was never supposed to do that, and I didn't mean to, but like, I felt so bad.
Was it Lea Michele?
No, it was it was an actor named Brian. He was in Torch Song Trilogy, the original on Broadway, but he was replaced when it went to the movie. He was a Nazi on Nip Tuck that tried to kill me and castrate me. So friendly, but like when I swung this shovel, it was the same thing. Like just seeing the look of real fear on someone's eyes who doesn't think like they're going to be threatened. Like seeing that hammer fly at Rue, I got afraid for Fifi's life, because if that had hit Rue, it would have been over. Like, girl,
it would not have been a good day if that went awry. But luckily, that didn't.
Or even
happen.
A pumpernickel.
Shut up. I have to give.
You don't even wear a wig.
I do tell jokes though.
She's got jokes.
Leave meeting. I'll get
where. Where are the jokes? They're right here. RuPaul's look is outstanding.
Oh my god, that little turquoise earring and the hair, everything about this hair. It feels like the video message hair from the next season. It's like classic Ru, like gorgeous.
But it has like black streaks on, like almost like black horns on each side, because she's playing a villain.
Oh, the acting scene one. I thought we were talking about the Tic Tac hair. The Tic Tac hair is pretty too. She changed hats
too.
All fucking day.
And she got in drag 2 days in a row, it looks like, because...
And that yellow polka dot one? Yeah, the next day for runway with that hair. That was three different wigs in 24 hours.
Yeah. They were working overtime in the hair department. Matthew did a really, really great job.
What's your favorite part about the acting scene? You've done these acting scenes. I've never gotten to this point in the competition, so...
It's okay. You've acted on other sets. My favorite part of this was Matthew telling Fifi that she was acting like Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz on crack.
So concise. Like, it gives you exactly a mental image of what it is.
It's like, and then it was a super cut of Fifi being like, what happened to that girl from the Brewster Project?
She was doing the same thing that she did in the jail challenge in the Mr. Peanut outfit.
Yeah, her, like, ingenue voice.
That's what she does when she acts but doesn't wear blonde hair.
I never wear blonde hair.
Now, we make these jokes, but Fifi's fine. Don't be an asshole to her, please.
Oh, yeah. And we'll talk about that on the reunion because I have things to say.
Can we talk about this runway? Because this is one of my favorite looks ever of RuPaul. This yellow polka dot dress with, like, the...
So nice.
The draped hip along with the millinery. That millinery is everything.
Yes. Just really great. She always turns it out for the finale episode.
But this is mother. This is mother. Yeah. The finale episode is... Well, the reunion episode is even better. That's where, like, she's in red and it's like a dotted red net fabric and it moves. Like, but this yellow is equally everything.
Really gorgeous styling with the hair and the small earring as well. And now the girls walk the runway and we get to see what they have left in their suitcases.
Do you think the girls were told to put on an outfit you could perform in? Because Fifi's in a dance costume.
Yes.
Chad's in something that he can move in. And Sharon's probably in whatever didn't smell the worst.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think they were anticipating giving a full-out performance to the song. And so they weren't going, I'm going to put on a crowning outfit. I'm going to put on a fucking performing outfit because I got to go turn it out.
Mm-hmm. Don't crown and gown, tuck and buck.
So let's talk about Chad's look. It's her power costume, Versace buckles, belt, strappy, sexy.
Fringe.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I see nothing that I would change about it.
Are you offended by false Versace? Do you think it's real or false?
I can't read if it's spelled Versace or Versace, but we're
There's a Y in it.
Girl, we're drag queens. I don't care if it's fake. She looks great. It's well made and it's gold and shiny. What and fringe. There's nothing wrong with this.
She looks great.
Fake it till you make it. And I wore fake stuff on the runway too. And I said it was real. Some of my lubes
were
definitely fake.
Your tits don't count.
Shut up, bitch. At least I got on that season. So Sharon is in a little gray, it looks like cum rag of some sort, with a bodysuit that she fished out from under the bed and some squid fingers, some calamari, which is lovely.
This, I can tell, she had run out of clothes.
But she looks great.
Honestly.
This the makeup?
This was not, I can tell you for a fact, these garments she's wearing must have been provided for one of the challenges, and she snatched them and wore them because she didn't own these ahead of time. She had run out of clothes, so she put on the fucking mini dress from the rack with the fucking pantyhose they gave you for the makeover of the dads and the octopus fingers. And said, let's go for it.
Accessories can make or break an outfit, as this proves. Because without the fingers, it wouldn't have tied it all together, I don't think. You know,
it would not have been good at all without the fingers.
Accessories make an outfit. If you're in drag and you don't have something on, go home. Or if you're already at home, turn off this podcast. You're not allowed.
And fun fact about this hair that she's wearing. I actually used that hair in my hair for the final three episode on season 5.
Oh, cool. What's the fun part?
Fuck you. Fuck you, shaded
bitch.
Shaded bitch.
So Fifi is in a Texas girl dance costume. It's pink leopard. It's got, it looks like she's got a Mufasa in the hair made out of 17 ponytails, a little bow, a dance boot, and a little belt to nip it all in. She looks great.
This is the Babylon music video leaked. It's
literally here.
This is it. It's like cave woman, kind of sexy, modern, but
Pebbles goes hooking.
Pebbles
in
Pebbles
Branson.
On the pole. She
leading
looks
pole
fabulous.
Pebbles.
Yeah. She looks really beautiful. So then we get to see the acting skit and the music video for Glamazon.
And what a treat to see this. This is green screen at its finest. It uses all the guest judge and former contestants.
What day did they shoot that on? What they shot it all on the infomercial day from the looks of it.
Yeah, infomercial, not PSA. We shot it on the infomercial day. So they have me in that dumb hair, Chaka Khan hair with that red dress. But
through
they also
the fire. No, that wig looks like it's been through a fire, bitch.
No charges were brought. Calm down. But we get to see all the guest judges' kills from throughout the season, and it's a cool concept for a video. It's low budge, and it looks great. Good colors. The acting scene at the beginning seems a little indulgent and a little long. It's like a full, like, 2.5-minute sketch that they have to cut in the middle for a commercial.
Right.
They had to fill out the time on this episode.
Well, they didn't have to take up my time.
My time is expensive, honey. So
if you don't
want
cherry pie, you need to hit it. and
would you like to buy some cherry pie?
It just seems a little forced. Like, oh, and then this spray is going to turn you large. Like, girl, don't tell
cute.
Me. Show me. Show me, RuPaul.
I like RuPaul playing like a satanic, psychotic villain.
So against type.
I like it. She leans into it.
Yeah.
She does
a
great
stretch.
Job. Right. Yeah. Now, for this time, they're breaking all the rules, and they're having the divas do a three-way lip sync. This has never happened before. We don't know if the stage can maintain structural integrity during all that fierceness.
All that
RuPaul,
talent.
You can't. You're mad.
Quick, run to the top of the runway to determine who wins. Well, can I tell you something about the next episode, the reunion? Before I come out on stage, before my introduction, they show a full stage shot, and I'm sitting there perfectly poised, looking the opposite way of all the other girls. Because my favorite thing, and this is a little Easter egg in season 4 for me, if you watch it through again, every time I win or they cut to me, I'm totally still. I make no reaction because I wanted to fuck with them on purpose. When my sitcom team won, I'm totally still on stage. Everybody's clapping. When I won, I'm a psycho. When I won for the mini challenge with LaQueer with blue paint on my face, everybody clapped. I'm totally still. When I did the RuPaulogize thing, I was totally still after. I was giving them no options to cut to me or around me. That's what you have to do on a reality show. And if you look through more on the boat one, I smiled because I knew I won because Fifi, they had already told her she didn't win. But like, I like to fuck with people like that. And it's an Easter egg. Go back and look through. You can find
now,
it. If you...
Now I want to go rewatch. Now I want someone to make a super cut of all the times that everyone else is, oh, yay! And you're
I gave nooch. Nooch. Everybody's looking at RuPaul on the reunion and who's ever talking. And I'm looking the other way out to the audience, just smiling.
You're such a monster.
Yeah. Even when Sharon won, I wasn't looking at her.
I'm looking at her. Hate it,
bitch.
Yeah.
Now, the divas lip sync to Glamazon by RuPaul. I mean,
fun song.
Yes, it is. And this was a moment where everyone just really showed their personality. Fifi was given a good Texas 8 count.
She hit the floor too soon, though. That floor work was a little presumptive.
Presumptive?
No.
Preemptive?
Premature.
That's the word.
Prima donna girl.
Prima donna.
Premature girl. Yeah. She went down on the floor way too soon.
Where's she gonna go? Get up. This is the first time that RuPaul has ever said the winner is going to be announced, and they're going to take into account the audience's thoughts on it and the other judges. This is the first year that it went, hello, social media. We are going to make you our bitch.
Yeah. This really got the gals together.
I like it because they basically said social media ruined our finale for season 3. So for season 4, we're going to harness it. We know you're out there anyway. We're going to tell you to tweet. We're going to tell you to hit us up. Tell us which team you like. You know, all that.
Exactly. A lot of things happened when season four came around, I think the budget started to look a little bit bigger. Like, they definitely threw more money at the promo. Like, oh, yeah. Your guys' promo was shot like a film. Like, it was really, really great.
It was beautiful.
And yeah, they do this sort of live event for the reunion, which is very exciting and had never happened before. And the girls, apparently, the story goes that after RuPaul says, "You'll find out next week," apparently Fifi was like, "Oh, okay, so we're going to find out next week." And they were like, "No, it's going to be like next year, because it's the next episode, not actually next week."
Oh my God.
So she was like plucked Zilla, because you think you're going to find out and know what happened. But like you said, the internet or Perez Hilton or somebody leaked the winner of season three very prematurely.
Yeah.
And everybody knew. It was no surprise. So RuPaul said, that's not going to happen on
That's
tonight,
not gossip.
Honey. Hot gossip.
So this big reunion extravaganza at the El Portal in North Hollywood Theater, when we showed up to film, there were 5 mirrors for 13 girls to get ready. And it started
to
go down.
Is that a mini challenge?
Honestly, it went downhill from there. Like, it was tough getting water, getting food that day. We couldn't find sinks with hot water to shave. They wanted us to go in the lobby bathroom to shave because they didn't want us to bother Michelle Visage in her dressing room. Eventually, Michelle was nice enough to let us in after, like, a couple of us texted her. And we're like, "Can we use your sink, please? We have, like, 3 hours to get ready at this point," you know? It was a difficult day, but I feel like it was one of my best episodes.
That's yes, and that's why I'm really glad we've gotten to this episode, because you really are you're the starlet of stage and screen in this episode. That's
up.
For sure. But it's true. But okay,
I'm not in this production number, that's for sure, that they made all the girls do. When they called to do my interview prep for this episode, they were like, "So we're going to have this segment, and we're going to do the what did Willem do? We're going to, you know, we're going to do a little talk through before, so we're all on the same page." It was that conversation. And then they said something about a dance production number, and I preemptively said, "I don't really want to do any production numbers." And they're like, "Oh, well, we weren't thinking of having you in that anyway." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So they planned this, and they only helped me with my master plan, kind of. Like, it was crazy how it all worked out so well. But I am not an evil genius. I did plan the disqualification, but everything else that they built up around me, they just took advantage of that.
It's good. It really worked. And let's talk more about it right after this break.
Okay. More about me? Sure.
We are back live from the El
Portal
Theater
in gorgeous North Hollywood, which is not North Hollywood. It's like it's Hollywood and then the Studio City and then North Hollywood. It's not North Hollywood. I don't know who chose to call it that.
This is the Willem Belli Extravaganza featuring RuPaul
and Alaska Thunderfuck.
With a special guest appearance from Charo. A lot of stuff. I was in the audience that night, and it was very, very exciting to me.
It was electric.
I remember seeing RuPaul in person on the stage and just being in awe of how stunning she looked. Because you sometimes think, well, it's a lot of cameras and lighting and filters. No, she really, and she's stunning.
The bones that Matthew built on, I mean, like, beautiful.
Yes, and also Matthew's artistry and
that
the
hair,
garments, the whole
dress,
thing.
The brooch, just the little brooch right at the teat. Like, the showing,
yeah.
Like, this is my good titty. Look at this one.
One of those Nova earrings right on the breast.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
So gorgeous. This red gown is a moment. When they told us that they wanted us in black for, I remember Dita being mad because she's like, "I've been stoned in this leopard skirt. I'm wearing leopard. I don't, like, they're trying to tell me 2 days before what I can wear." And I was like, "Dita, wear whatever you want. What, are they not going to let you win or something?" And she went, "Oh, you're right." It was literally that conversation. And then I was like, "Don't tell them what you're wearing. Fuck it, Dita." And it was It was a learning experience for everybody, that reunion, because it was the first of its kind. But there were so many people in the audience. Derek Barry was in the audience. You were Pork Chop. Raja was in that plaid outfit.
I saw Morgan. Was that Sonique?
Venus Delight was there. Sonique was there. Venus. Everybody was there.
Yes. It was a really exciting moment. I mean, it was the first time. I mean, now, you know, now the reunions, I'm like, it's too long. Oh, I'll just watch it on TV. But like, it was a dream come true to be in that room.
You got there one way or another.
Right, exactly.
Now, that room in the wide shot, though, has many empty seats, if you look at it in the beginning. There's so many empty seats because they kept them open for some reason. It was not filled. It looked shoddily attended.
I brought several busloads of people. Yes, they'll be showing up soon. That's from AJ and the Queen. It's one of the side plots. Okay.
I love vintage television.
I do, too.
Those one-season gems that never got a second chance.
The girls all look really, really great in their black looks. Mm-hmm. I love this opening production number. They each get their own walk down the runway. Standouts for me are Kenya Michaels, who just so stunning. So sickening.
My standout was kind of the princess, because I loved her aesthetic in it. Just this like punk.
The mohawk.
Like, it gave me Mad Max Furiosa's friend. Like, she would definitely be in that, like, that tank with Charlize or something. She looked cool.
Really great garment as well. And the final three come out in a gold look to come down the stairs for their first look. Mm-hmm.
Fifi did like that neon hitch look. Chad did a gorgeous something. And Sharon was a beer mug from Party City, right?
She was, because it was like very last minute that they were given the
color specs. We were told 2 days before, literally two or three.
Yeah, and so she didn't have anything, and so she went to a novelty store and got that beer costume, because beer is gold. RuPaul speaks through speaks with some of the girls. The first group of divas are the first four girls that went home.
Alisa Summers has this great little line that she says to Jiggly, like, well, if I was wearing sneakers, I could have turned it out too for the Born This Way lip sync. But like, I just think in my mind, that's like, well, take your shoes off. Maybe she was in a boot though and it was hard. I don't remember.
Well,
LaShawn doesn't even get her own little like moment in this reunion. Her question is lumped in with Princess's question. She answers maybe like a full sentence, and then it just goes straight to Princess, who says something which I didn't remember hearing backstage. But Princess, we were sharing a dressing room. She's the one that convinced me to put on two wigs instead of one. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Princess said, if I was more of a character like Willem, I probably could have stayed longer and showed more of what I can do on the runway. And honestly, after I left, the runway was pretty lame. That's what she said.
She went there. And I'm glad that she did, because we all thought she should have stayed more. And I remember literally having a conversation with her at the mirror, telling her, like, you need to show them something like that they don't have. And like, it was one of those things that was like when Bianca was telling Courtney, like, we need to do this for the camera type of thing. Like, and Courtney just didn't play along sometimes, or it was very that. It felt very that to me. But like, I love Princess. We're still friends, and we kiki every time I'm in Nashville. And
she's cool as fuck.
Play is doing online drag shows. Her and Dee Dee were on it last night.
Oh, work.
So support the dolls if you can.
Definitely. Madame LaQueer, I actually really like the moment she has with the reading is fundamental. She gets to try out a read. She puts on the sunglasses, gets a huge laugh from the audience, and she says, Jiggly, where are your teeth? Oh, I know, hanging out with your good taste.
And then, bitch, Jiggly gets her right back without even missing a suck on that lollipop. She just starts being a pointer sister and pointing, because that's all LaQueer did. She didn't even miss a beat. Jiggly's just like, you ain't gonna bother my snack, bitch. And Jiggly was painted.
Oh, wait. So the pointing back and forth, that was making fun of something that LaQueer did? Oh,
it was making fun of LaQueer being a pointer sister.
Well, I don't want to take it anymore.
I'll just sit here locked behind the door.
RuPaul tugs to... That's my track. I'm Ruth. I'm the deep-voiced one.
And it's hard to say... I'll hit the bridge.
I'm Ruth Poynter. It's totally automatic. Now, RuPaul tugs to the next batch of queens.
Oh, her thing to Milan where she says, you've done something different with your hair. Oh, don't wait, you're wearing it.
Why don't we flip our wigs right now? You first.
No, you. Not you.
Then Milan's like, wait, really? And RuPaul's like, no!
No, Mitch.
Do you know what's going on under here? There's the levers and pulleys.
It's a simple machine.
flying buttresses. scaffolding.
I would love to see Milan as a lip sync assassin or an all-star because... You know, she's a talented motherfucker, and...
They talk about her on The Chop this week, because Milan did a song called Miss Cleo, Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo.
I don't think you really know. Miss Cleo,
you called me for my free reading, but nothing about it was free, because I waited a long-ass time before you talked to me. You said that you was number one. You said you was the best. I know all that song. I used to do that song, and when I got to Drag Race and found out Milan was Miss Cleo, like, the third or fourth episode... I think it was after the wrestling one. I was floored. I'm like, girl, I've made so much money off of doing your song. That's when her and I kind of clicked.
Yeah.
She's very,
very funny and very talented. And I really liked her interview with Rue.
Me too.
You only have a very short window of time to make
but
an
it
impression.
Left you with a good taste in your mouth of Milan. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You kind of want more.
And speaking of, like, interview portion, Jiggly Caliente really is so natural, so relaxed, so, like, charismatic, just naturally. I love this moment.
Yeah, everybody loves Jiggly, and she talks about getting her sewing classes on, very Saint-Tropez, her brother used his tax return money. The audience loves Jiggly. They are eating her up.
They do, yes.
And the audience
and
also
so.
Totally so. The audience also has Dita's mom in it, and there's a special, really special video message from home where her dad's like yelling in the background, like hi, and Dita has a chance to thank RuPaul for bringing households together, especially religious ones.
Yeah,
and it's a really nice moment to see that the show can be effective in relationships like that.
Yeah, and I think it. I mean, I think it's definitely true because. My family didn't know what I was doing, like, with, like, what is drag? Like, they had no frame of reference. And so watching Drag Race does kind of help illuminate what the, like, culture of drag is and what the art form is. I mean, and I think it does, it's very helpful for that.
Everybody at airports is always asked, like, what do you do when you go into the country? And when I say I'm a drag queen, they're like, what's that? What does that mean? I'm like, well, I basically do everything a celebrity does, but better and funnier.
Wow.
You know, like we do. We do everything a celebrity does, but better. Drag queens are always better than, like, anybody.
I when they ask me that, I say I dress up like a lady and sing songs. Now, Kenya, the constant, like, language barrier thing is a little tiresome, it's really just a setup for this Charo appearance, which I thought was actually really funny.
And Charo has a reveal, and those bastards cut away from it. They cut away from the reveal.
Charo had a reveal?
She did. Her skirt
Tell
went...
me more, Intel.
Mm-hmm. Her skirt
Intel went... me more.
Intel me more. Charo was seen on stage at the El Portal in North Hollywood last night. She had a horsehair ruffled reveal skirt, which was then cut away to reveal a beaded dance costume underneath. The bodice was hers, but there was a tearaway skirt. Like
I was there.
It was a little fluted one. Well, then I'm really ashamed that you didn't pick up on these details.
Girl, but, I don't know what. No, I don't remember that, but work.
Yeah, she had a reveal and they cut away, but she did teach everyone how to coochie coochie out to the break.
Do you know Charo's favorite fashion designer?
Bob Mackie?
Gucci Gucci.
Oh. Well, they can't all be winners.
Gucci Gucci.
But we'll get to season 5 soon enough.
Now, they said, listen, a queen was disqualified from the competition, and there has never been a more controversial queen. Mm-hmm. To set this record straight about Willem, tune in to RuPaul's Drag U on Logo. Just kidding. Here she is, Willem, carried in by the big crew. Kicking now, and screaming, they bring her back.
If you'll notice, I'm kicking and screaming, and we're acting like I didn't want to be there. But in actuality, what had happened was they said, okay, you're walking in with the pit crew, so we need, please hand over your Louboutins. And I said, what? And they said, you're with the pit crew. You're not allowed to wear shoes anymore. And I said, that's disgusting. We're in a workplace. I'm calling OSHA. Oh my God, and they're like, take off your shoes. You're and then they dragged me on stage, and like I had to, just getting the shoes back on. I didn't
you
feel
looked
treated fairly.
Really stunning.
Yeah. I honestly, when they told me I had to wear black, I was like, I'm wearing clear. And they were like, what? What does clear mean? And I'm like, well, there's black on it. So, okay, it's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, you don't really have black in your color theory.
I don't. But the unicorn and the stars were black. So I considered that like my black.
I like that interpretation. I love that dress.
Thank you.
Your makeup looked great. Who painted you? Just kidding.
I also painted like a full dark lid because the lighting was so bad in the dressing room that me and Princess were in that I couldn't, you know, when the lighting is only from above and no matter what you do, you look like the front of that Night at the Opera Queen album where everybody's like looking up kind of like four men. That's the lighting they gave us. Ooh. So for that room. And that was the room that Princess and I squeezed into because we couldn't fit in the main room with the four mirrors. So there was another one with two and bad lighting, but we did it. So my makeup was a little different. I used color spray because there was no chance of contouring, like in bad light. It was a very difficult situation, but I'm glad I made the best of it. And I looked fucking great.
Yeah, you looked beautiful. I loved your hair too, just stacked on stacked on stacked.
That was the princess. I give all credit to her because I brought in two wigs because I didn't know what to wear. And she said, oh, double stack. And I went, you can do that?
Can you do that? My dear sweet child, it's what I do. It's what I live for. To stack unfortunate wigs like the one you have on.
They were human, you cunt. They were not unfortunate. What was unfortunate is we didn't get to tell the real story of what actually I did on the show, but I've since done it on Twitter and everywhere else. And we agreed
why don't we reveal that right after this break?
Oh. Cool.
What did Willem do? What did Willem do?
What did?
How many? Why did she make you say it three times?
It's like red rum, right? It's like you had to summon it.
Yeah. In order
to
appear.
Had to summon it. Oh, it. Okay. I see you.
So you made up some cockamamie story about your
husband coming in.
You didn't make it up? Who
made
it up?
I did not make up this cockamamie story.
Agatha Christie?
No. The people
Sydney
in the room.
Sydney Sheldon?
No.
Danny
Michael
L.
Crichton? The people that were in the room.
John
that,
Grisham. Sorry, I'm going to stop.
The people that came up with this story that were in the room were Tom Campbell, Chris McKim, Steven was not there, the producer I slept with. And RuPaul was not there. I think Mish might have been in there too. But they came
up.
They knew it. Everything that I had done. They knew that my husband had dropped off a couple things for me. So they went with conjugal visit things. And I went along with it because I knew it was the easiest way to possibly work with them in the future. I had already done Drag U. I was trying to play ball with them.
Yeah.
Telling the real stuff would have made everybody look bad at the time, and I wasn't trying to do that. I was trying to use this opportunity to the fullest of my advantage, and I think I got to do it by playing along a little bit, and nobody believed it. They all, you know, whatever, it's fine. Do I regret lying? No, it's a reality show and not everything is true.
It was you were playing a character, and it is a concise way of like telling the story, because what actually happened is more complicated.
Yeah, so, and it doesn't make anybody look good, including me. It makes me look like a thorn in everybody's side unnecessarily, because, you know, even when you do complain and it's true, it's still sometimes a negative in people's mind about you, even though I was complaining for like fair treatment of people and just like better things in general. But I don't regret any of it. And I'm very happy I got to like make the audience laugh a couple more times when I gave RuPaul that sticker. Like,
well, I really think that you had what it takes to go all the way.
See, the sticker thing was supposed to be the last thing, and then she added in that question, and I was like, "Well, this was going off script, darling."
What were you gonna? Did you have a joke planned that was gonna be flippant that you didn't say?
No, that wasn't in there originally, because there were like three talking points that they gave me, and that
Somebody's
wasn't one of them.
Off script.
The last bit was literally about the "Do you have anything to promote?" Because I said the thing about the Trouble Mix, because the guy that wrote that song was in the audience, Tom, because he wrote RuPaul's Red Hot and a bunch of her albums. So like, it was LA, it was a family affair for me, and I had hometown advantage, so I felt very strong in the room. But when she asked me that, I knew that I was probably going to be on All Stars, so I was like, let's play ball. And then they took that away, so whatever, it's fine.
Yes.
But the next section is really fun, because we get Latrice Royale. And she basically, I realize she has the saying about like, when you fall, you need to get up, look sickening and eat it. Mm-hmm. I basically did the reverse of it on my last episode. I fell to my knees, got sick, and then got up and made them eat
and
it.
And threw up.
Yeah.
And you made Chanel clean it up.
I didn't make her. I cleaned it up myself. She just stood there and held my wig. But seeing Latrice.
If you're standing up you need you to are. Fall on the ground. Throw it up and make Chanel Perillo clean it up.
Or you're not doing drag.
Not the 5 G's, but the 5 H's.
Yeah.
This is a lovely, I mean, Latrice Royale is, she continues to be a legendary hero. And this was a really nice moment. And she gets crowned Miss Congeniality.
10,000 ducats.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead, but.
That's fine.
No, no, no. I think we all know that she is the Miss Congeniality, and she gets to read a letter about a fan whose daughter learned how to be fierce from Latrice, and it's really sweet. I remember hearing it and going, why aren't the cameras on me?
You're an asshole. It was a very inspiring moment, and you can always look to Latrice for an inspiring moment. We love her very much.
You can also listen to her on The Clap with Manila Luzon.
It's The Chop, not The Clap.
Take two. You can also listen to her on The Chop with Manila Luzon, presented by the Dog of Forever.
Did you just go to the clinic? Is that what's on your mind? Even if you get,
you
the,
get
clap,
the clap,
clap, clap, clap. Now, this is a fun moment. The final three girls come back in their final
down up in the back.
Oh my god.
So they've been backstage getting zhuzhed back there for a second.
Ooh, oh my god, this Chad gown for their final looks that he comes out. It's a reproduction of the Charlize Theron gold gown that she wore in the original J'adore ad. It's like this gorgeous Charlize Theron, but gold. This is in pewter and in pewter and steel tones.
Really nice.
Yeah. What was your favorite final three look?
I mean, I think they all looked really great. They were sort of, it sort of felt like, Chad and Sharon were, going to the same event, and Fifi was kind of going to like working the door or something. She was in,
hey,
she like,
you're
had
saying
her,
that to insult her, yet I worked the door for a decade.
So did I.
Thank
I'm just
you.
Saying, I think gown for this event.
Gown. Not
not legs out.
Not
like,
panty that doesn't match the corset, which has stuff falling off of it.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I guess I...
Those were facts. See, I wasn't saying sit at the door, bitch. Put on wristbands.
Okay. I love Fifi O'Hara, and...
Oh, we're listening.
And I'm ready to speak about that in just a moment. But as far as these specific looks go, I give a huge salute to Chad's garment by Adam, her partner. She really looked, and you could tell she really felt really gorgeous. And Sharon's dress up close is really a great piece of work. I believe it's Jeffrey Mack who did it, who recently
won. Isn't the green, like, kind of metallic? Oh, Project Runway, yeah.
Yeah. It was stoned, which, I mean, we didn't, you know, back then, I didn't know what a rhinestone was.
Back then, there was usually one thing stoned in the Needles Thunderfuck house, and it wasn't a dress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they all looked gorgeous. There's a bit about Sharon and Fifi's fighting. Mm-hmm. Fifi says, you know, I love and respect her.
Bullshit.
Oh my God.
And then they cut to you. They cut to you in the audience.
Well, I wasn't counting, but I did get several seconds on screen.
I mean, there was
and
that,
a Chiron with my name.
Oh, so famous.
Destroyed by fame.
I think that, like, the cutaways in the audience help tell a story of what you're supposed to feel. And one of the times I felt kind of, like, fucked over by World of Wonder was when I was on stage talking to RuPaul, and they cut away to this random older guy in the audience, like he was my husband when I was talking about my husband.
No way!
Yes. And you can check this out. I don't know this man. I have no idea who he was. And the reason they cut away to that is because it was in the shot script that they had planned already, because they just assumed my husband would come to this taping because he lived in LA. They never asked, but when someone said something about is he bringing a plus one, I'm like, he's not coming to this, because he wasn't going to sit there and watch me lie to people. And he's like, I'm not going. He's a lawyer. He has a real job. He's not going to come play on the Crossy show.
What if you met the guy they cut to on the camera? What if you met him in real life and actually got married to him someday?
That wouldn't happen. I'm already married.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Yeah. But this
anyway.
This bullshit moment that I coughed in the Sharon and Fifi discussion was just one of those things again where, like, the cameras weren't on me. And I was like, if they're going to be taping this bullshit lies that these girls are spewing, trying to make nice for the cameras when they don't even know how to sit right on a chair, the camera is going to come back to me and I'm going to say some truth. I'm not going to waste all my friends' time in the audience. So at that point, I was pulling snacks out of my wig and passing them to girls. I had fruit snacks. Do you remember that at all?
So you were pulling focus? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I was. It was hometown advantage. I was trying to give, literally, when I walked off stage after the reunion, Tom Campbell grabbed me, looked me in the eyes, and hugged me and said, thank you. That was good TV. I was like, no problem. Wait, no. It wasn't Tom Campbell. It was, fuck. It was the producer they brought in specifically for the reunion that was in the room with me when we did the story decision thing beforehand. It wasn't Tom Campbell.
Well, it definitely was good TV. You got the biggest laughs of the night, definitely, with bullshit. And when was She Had a Phone?
She Had a Phone was in Untucked number 8, I think.
Oh, really? It was on Untucked? I thought it was on the reunion.
Did I say it on the reunion?
I don't know why I always remembered it as being on the reunion, but
I know I said it somewhere for sure.
She had a phone.
I think it's in Untucked when they're talking about, like, all the stuff that I was doing wrong or something, and then because it's something about dirty laundry, and then I'm like, well, she had a phone because she did. Two people bought phones at the mall across the street from the hotel.
That is strict. That's breaking the rules.
I was
disqualified.
Lord.
All these hoes.
Disqualify.
Both times I lived in that hotel without a single contact with the outside world.
Well, if you would have gotten on the first time like me and your ex,
oh my god,
you know, that would have been alleviated. I'm very sorry.
Alaska, so, do you want to read this monologue?
Yes, this is a Willem Says monologue. I'm an egomaniac. Everybody knows that. But Like, she should be studied down there. It's almost sociopathic the way she'll tell people it was just a character, I was just playing it up. And then she'll sign autographs. Fuck Willem, fuck Sharon. It's not cool. And I understand that it's a game. I never retaliated on the show because I didn't care. And indifference is worse than hate. And I'm not going to RuPaulogize for anything I'm doing now. This was a Willem Says. This is a very nice moment, and you gave RuPaul a very coinable, bankable word.
Yeah, I thought I said everything I wanted to say and ended it with a joke. But yeah. the tea on that is I used the word RuPaulogize during the season in the workroom. I remember I said it, and then I was surprised that it didn't make the air. It might have been it wasn't in a walk around, but it was somewhere. And then I was like, let me try it again and see if it lands in this room. And it did.
It did land. And RuPaul stole it from you.
That's fine. It was hers. It was hers to take.
And it's too late to RuPaulogize.
And honestly, it was hers to take because anything that you come up with while in employ or contract of the show is legally theirs.
Work.
Any characters created, any music created, it's theirs. That's the contract you sign away. Yeah. Well, it's just fine. I did this song, RuPaulogize, and it was a beautiful video. I got all my friends to be in it. Raja, Alaska, Chanel.
I was in it in disguise.
So many people. And it was roller skating and Mario Diaz. And it was a good way to show, I'm not bitter anymore. Let's just make a pretty video. I didn't need all stars. Blah, blah, blah.
A very nice conversation with Chad. I mean, Chad is a classy gal. She says, you know what? I'm galvanized, I'm focused, and I'm ready to take the crown home tonight.
Mm-hmm. We see Sharon saying that she came to the show as the underbelly and the outsider art side of drag, and I get hundreds of letters a week, and I never knew that she could reach so many people, basically.
Fifi says that things have not gotten any better with her dad, but she is proud of who she is, and her mom is there, and her mom says, you know, I think you were right about telling her she wears too much makeup, but now he looks great, just like me.
I remember seeing her mom backstage after, and I smiled and said hi, and I think I said something like, your son's really talented, and she smiled at me and was nice, but it was one of those things where I could tell, like,
she knew who you were.
I know. And I was just like, sorry about being like a dick to your son, but you know.
Before we move on, I want to speak to that because I feel like Fifi was really ganged up on this episode. Not just by you with the Willem Speaks thing, but by everybody and production. And I felt like she handled herself in a very composed way. Like, she maintained her composure.
Yeah, I know that when the final three were coming out before the curtain was rising, there was a point where she had to tip her head back so the tears wouldn't break the waterline because people weren't cheering. And that was really sad to see. But she also made her bed and she lied in it. And she also lied. So there's lots of things that there's consequences for how she behaved on TV, and people feel some sort of way because they watch that and then they see the person and want to take it out on them. And it's unfortunate because it was probably a year ago that this was filmed and Fifi was going through a lot at the time. But that's what happens when you sign on for a reality show. You put your life in someone else's hands and let them edit it, and then you hope for the best.
Yes. And anyone who follows Fifi or her work since the show, you know that she is really dedicated to drag. She's raised so much fucking money for really good causes. Mm-hmm. She's always that girl to like be the first one to put together a fucking benefit.
She stood up to shitty promoters who haven't paid people. She's done a lot of great work, and she does not look like Gene Hackman at the end of The Birdcage anymore.
And it sucks because being someone who sort of cracked under the pressure of being on a reality show and making an ass out of myself in that
environment. You were just trying to get verified on PayPal.
No, but like, I have compassion for that because I know that you're having a false world created around you by an entire team of of people you don't even see. So it's emotional manipulation is what making a show like that is. And so we can be certain that she was pushed to deceive and lie and manipulate. Yeah. And yes, she went ahead and did it, which maybe she probably shouldn't have, but it wasn't just her. And she even says on the reunion, you know what? I watched that and I'm like, I'm an insane person. And I know that feeling. So I have compassion for Fifi in this moment. And I think she fucking really maintained her composure during this, because it was not an easy moment for her.
Honestly, though, I wasn't trying to attack her for anything that she did on the show at that point. Like, seeing it back and seeing how hateful she was to me in the interviews was one thing, but that was almost a year before. I wasn't going to bitch about it. But what I was upset about was her writing things on, like, my picture or, like, in the autographs. Well, it's one thing if we're friends and, like, Sharon draws a mustache on me, or, like, some girl draws cum on my chin to make it more accurate. But, like, she doesn't know me. And by what she was saying off of me on television when I thought we were friends, she doesn't have the right to be kidding around lightly with me. So I wanted to call her out on that and make it stop. And it did.
Yeah.
And the final decision is Rue's to make, though.
It is. Yeah. And we get a little check-in with the judges, Michelle, Santino, and Billy B.
Wearing that black Trixie hair.
And I love that Dipper wrote in here, they say nothing of importance. You wrote that in the outline.
And then we hear from Michelle, Santino, and Billy B., who say nothing of importance. Michelle is wearing an exposed corset.
I clocked that too. And she's wearing green, because this season was the birthplace of the Michelle Visage can't stand green.
The Madame LeClaire gown, yeah, for sure.
Phenomenon.
This custom crown designed by Mariana Haratunian, and headline the Logos Drag Race Tour featuring Absolute Vodka and $50 in drink tickets each night. cocktails perfected. Alan Chuck .fuck.suck travel. And 100 grand.
Yes, the final decision is RuPaul's to make. This was very suspenseful in the room. Now, I want to tell what happened that day.
We can talk about it. First, they crowned Chad, and then everybody thought Chad won. I didn't even clap because I knew Sharon won at that point. And then they all said reset. Everybody was surprised, but I didn't even get up.
So they didn't tell the audience.
No, because that would have ruined, I think, the surprise of the genuine reaction, because they probably did use genuine reaction shots from that first one. The cameras were facing the audience, you know?
Yeah.
And then they crowned Sharon, and then they crowned Fifi. And when they crowned Fifi, this big prism paperweight that she had on her corset fell to the ground. And when she bent to pick it up, the crown fell off of her head. And then she looked at them after, like, should we reset? Can we do it again? And Rue basically just gave a move on thing. Like, we knew
RuPaul said, no, we're fine. We got it.
We knew that. It was definitely not a Fifi win at that point, because they didn't have a clean take of her winning. And I knew it was Sharon.
But
they weren't going to show it until it actually aired on TV.
Yes.
That's when Sharon won in that checkerboard Jeffrey Mack witch costume, I think.
Right. Which was like, what, like 2 weeks later or something like that.
Yeah. We shot the reunion after. We shot the reunion before the finale episode aired, basically.
Okay, so it was like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then we went to New York for, I think it was the, might have been the last week of April. I think it was in April, though. But it was one of those things where afterwards we all knew Fifi didn't win, but it was Sharon or Chad.
And it seems like Rue puts the tiniest tiara behind Sharon's Ouija board headpiece, but there's this huge custom crown sitting there too, right?
Girl, Rue ain't fucking with Bobby Pin. She ain't doing that shit.
No,
Raja was probably half in the bag at that point. She couldn't deal with it. And you know what? Raja had gloves on. She couldn't have put that crown on with bobby pins and stuff.
Yeah, no way. And I mean, they were putting it on three different people, so they were probably like, this thing is gonna get raggedy and full of hair and like
pass around pageant crown.
Yeah, pass around pageant crown.
I mean, it's better than this year with Shay. She didn't even get a crown.
Well, now they just do the scepter. It's just easier. This is
wow, way to dumb down drag. It's too hard to put the crown on.
It's too hard.
Here, hold this. It's sparkly. Fuck that. Give her a crown. Where is Shay's crown?
I remember in the moment when we were waiting in suspense and RuPaul said, the winner is Chad Michaels. And that was the genuine gig. And yep. They didn't tell us they were doing three endings. And I remember my feelings at the moment were, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I love Chad. And then I was like, oh, I'm kind of sad because Sharon didn't win. But I have to tell you, even after that night and everything that happened, we still were like, I don't know if we weren't certain that Sharon was going to win. There was never at any point where we like, yeah, she's definitely got this. Like, yeah, definitely. It was like, it's very possible that Chad could win this. So like, that was our mindset at the time. But in the room, the audience reaction was very huge in favor of Sharon. But we didn't know what was going to happen.
I mean, you just went out to Mickey's that night with everybody else, probably.
And, right. And after they did the Chad crowning, RuPaul was like, okay, everybody wait a second. Now I know all of you hoes are shady as fuck. So we're going to film two more endings right now. And that's what they did.
Yep, they got it. And Sharon eventually was revealed as the winner and declared, Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah.
And that's all she wrote on that. Now, we have a special little treat here at Race Chaser. We know a few people. We know a few guys, and some of them wear wigs. And one of them is the co-host of The Cat with...
The Crack
with Manila Luzon. And we have a very special Latitudes with Latrice.
It's time for Latitudes with Latrice. Large and in charge, chunky yet funky. The legend and icon herself, Latrice, motherfucking Royale!
Let's talk catchphrases. You were the first girl to, I think, really like solidify actual good catchphrases that people actually wanted to catch. See, that's what makes it a catchphrase. People got to want to catch it. And they caught all of yours.
Oh, my God.
Eat it. Yeah. Large and in charge. Chunky yet funky. Yeah. Good God, girl, get a grip. The 5 G's. Yeah. I mean, those, I see that shirt at almost every, I see at least one Latrice shirt at every gig I go to, especially the 5G one.
Yeah, it's real.
AT&T could never be you.
No, they could not.
5 G's, bitch.
5 G's, girl. 5 G's. Yeah.
When did you start saying these things? Have they been mantras for life, or did they come with Latrice's baptism and birth?
A lot of it is like mantra. Like some of it was like mantras in life. Like 5 G's, we used to say it in Color Girl all the time. Like. Good God, get a grip, girl. Like 5 G's.
On the flagpole, so you don't drop it.
Like 5 G's, please. No. Well, actually, it was when a girl was queening out. When one of the boys was queening out, we're like, okay, you're a little bit too much. 5 G's, please.
Still useful. Did you notice a lot of things change between season 4 and then when you went to film All-Stars 1 and then All-Stars 4? Like, has the production grown? Has it changed? Has the food gotten better?
Well, well, I can tell you from season 4 All-Stars 1, I'm putting that all in one lump sum because they happened
we did drag you in between and that's yeah,
exactly.
It.
So compared to that, to going back to the VH1 experience, oh honey. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Money.
It's called budget. We had hors d'oeuvres, bitch, they were passing around we had snacks and things. Yes, girl.
Wow.
I was quite shocked.
Remember we had the Frito-Lay sample pack.
That's all we had.
And that was our...
And some crackers, bitch.
That was about it.
I think that's great.
I think that's great, too. So we're going to go. Please watch season 4. Follow Latrice Royale on social media. Mm. Watch AJ and the Queen.
Yeah.
Buy her music on iTunes.
Please
wait.
Do. Yeah.
Excuse the beauty. Please thick do. Thighs. Yeah. All that.
Thick thighs.
Yeah.
Thick thighs and oral.
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 Oral. Oral.
Get tested. All right, I'm going to go put lipstick on.
And now we will reveal who we will be covering next in the world of Classique.
Oh, gosh. Now, this took a lot of debations and
Not
ruminations.
Not really, though, because we've done the show in order.
So it didn't take a lot of ruminations or debitations.
Ruminations with RuPaul.
Can we talk a little bit about how season four just ran so you guys could stroll?
Well, I think one of the main turning points of season four, of course, was the live finale moment. I mean,
Thank you.
That was a huge change that they've continued to do and expand and make bigger. Also, I think this was the sort of like they saw how well like conflict and drama can play out and mm-hmm. create sort of character arcs that make the stakes higher in the overall thing. Season three, we got a little hint of it with Heathers versus Boogers, but it wasn't like the Sharon versus Fifi dynamic that fueled the whole season.
And they had tried, I know, to get girls who had a previously notated confrontation and issues with each other for the seasons following season four with Alyssa they were going to have Alyssa on season four, but when she clammed up about the Coco thing, or the other way around. I think they were going to have Coco, and then when they asked her in one of the last interviews about, like, it was either Alyssa or Coco, they said, I don't know that person, and they knew that they weren't obviously going to play ball on that, and they didn't get cast for that season. But like after season four, they went after girls that they knew would bring conflict on purpose. And
yes,
that's when you start seeing, you don't start seeing the strings, but you know they're being pulled because you can see the actions. And season four was the last time it was kind of like really innocent before you had like Detox talking into the mic and them like changing lip syncs at the last minute to get girls, you know? Like, honestly, this was the last time it felt like there was an organic nature to it instead of a more production. But production is good. I mean, it helps us enjoy the show and follow along and stuff. But I think that four, having the girls with the personal connections, hanging out at the hotels, getting closer, the stakes were higher naturally because we knew each other more than they would be with strangers who only knew each other for 8 to 12 hours in a workroom, you know? Like, we hung out, we kikied, we smoked pot, we made out, we did things together, you know?
And, of course, season four was the birth of Willem as the dark horse of the Drag Race kingdom. The most controversial queen in the history of Drag Race.
Not anymore.
Never before. Well, but like within the kingdom. I mean, you weren't cast out of the kingdom, really, within the scope of this season. It was a very important moment and really fierce and really fun to
Our
to
rainbow
watch.
Spotlight of the week is Keys to the Kingdom by Blackest King Beyonce.
Oh, I thought it was Trouble, the WWYD JoJo Siwa remix.
Shut up, you bitch.
Now available on iTunes.
Thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser Classic this week.
We never announced what's going to happen next week.
Well, they'll next just have to week, see, won't they?
We will start with All Stars
One.
And we will most likely be talking a bit about Untucked every week as well, because there are some amazing moments from All Stars 1 Untucked, mm-hmm. including a cameo from one of the hosts of Race Chaser. I'll give you a guess as to who it is. So make sure you do your homework and rewatch or watch for the first time episode 1 of All Stars Season 1. The episode is called It Takes Two, Baby.
And also, this week on Mom, Latrice and Manila discuss Canada's Drag Race and their first ever Snatch Game. Plus, the queens did a Night of a Thousand Celine's Runway. And check that out. New episodes of The Chop come out every Monday.
And it's official. Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball is now on the Mom Network. And they have some really super fun stuff planned this week, including a detailed review of my drive-in show in Los Angeles.
You were recording?
Yeah, we brought a little recorder around and did some roving reporting.
That wasn't a mole?
Stop.
I thought it was a freckle.
To this episode.
Yeah.
I said, back away from my vehicle. Get away from my bumper. Da, 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 da.
And on this Friday, we'll have Peppermint on as our guest.
Oh, oh my God. We love Pep.
She talks a lot about getting on Drag Race and her audition process, which is very fascinating.
I love that show. Wow. I can't wait to hear about it. Now, you can hear new episodes of Sloppy Seconds every Tuesday and Friday. And I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
Of season 4 and 5. And you can rate our podcast, but don't give it 4 and 5s. And subscribe to make sure you know when each new episode comes out.
You can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser podcast is at Race Chaser Pod. You can use the hashtag Race Chaser when you post. And you can send us a DM or an email at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
We also have bonus hole footage at patreon.com/Willem, and you can watch our fake Drag Race episode. We have parts 1, part 2, and part 5 and 6 are coming out later. We skipped 3 and 4. Fuck them. We're probably going to win a Wowie Web Award for the web series, so you should check us out now before all the kids come. You can be like, no, I've been watching that longer.
Definitely. You can catch up on all our bonus content by searching the hashtag RaceChaser and watch the videos a la carte. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Race Chaser. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.